You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. It's not exactly new, it's not exactly different, but it's a living.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new.
It's heartwarming.
It's non-habit forming. We can really guarantee it's something to shout about.
Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Sheila Hancock, and a cast of several, bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world. That harsh, brittle world where night and day men and women burn the candle at both ends and finish up with some very small candles.
This little piggy went to market, and this little piggy stayed home, and this little piggy...
I say, old girl, I wish you'd stop painting your toenails in front of me. After all, I'm a married man.
Sorry, Adrian.
Now, to come back to what I was saying, Maggie has no right to accuse us of being inefficient. I mean, we're on the go the whole time.
Never stop. Shirley, is there any more coffee?
In a tick. I'm just reading this postcard from Mavis.
How's she enjoying her holiday?
Well, she says, "Dear all in the typing pool, the first day I arrived, I sent you a postcard of my hotel. Will you please send it back as I've forgotten the name of it? And I've been wandering around the town now for 3 days. Signed, Mavis. Care of the GPO or Third Son Shelter on the Front, Weymouth."
Apart from that, I bet you're having a marvellous time.
Yes, now, Shirley, hurry along with that coffee.
Proper dog's body I am. Coffee up!
Oh, thanks, Shirley.
How about you, Mr. Lightfoot, then? Fancy a fill-up?
Not at the moment, thanks. I'm just about to drive off.
Honestly, Michael, if you must stand on the desk to practice your golf, I wish you'd stand on your own instead of mine.
Michael, why are you standing up there with your foot in Janet's in tray?
Well, Maggie, I was trying to swat a fly.
With a golf club? Come off it. Really, this office gets more like a... Janet, why are you sitting there with your feet out of the window?
I'm only drying my toenail.
I thought it was some kind of fetish. Or should I say fetish? Now, Adrian, what about the advertising campaign for Easy Go's indigestion tablets?
Well, I'm working on an idea right now, Maggie.
What is it?
Well, we start the ad with a question. Would you know what to do if you swallowed a golf ball?
What's the answer?
That's what I'm working on.
Then please hurry. I'll expect you in my office with some concrete suggestions within 2 minutes. It's time we had a bit of action around here. You all pulled your socks up.
I never wear socks. Not with high heels, anyway.
Well, I've never heard of high-heeled socks before.
Ah, Maggie's in a very organising mood this morning. She's tearing around like a bulldog after a cat.
Or a bulldog after a lady bulldog. I don't know how she does it.
Or why?
Well, Maggie's a career girl, that's why.
And we've got to do something about Maggie. She's making our working life an absolute misery, all this screeching and nagging.
Exactly. It's just like being at home.
What can we do about Maggie?
Well, I suppose we couldn't put her in a rocket and send her into outer space.
It's no good now. They're bringing them back.
The trouble with Maggie is she's too wrapped up in her work. What does she do in the evenings? I mean, who are her friends? Does anyone know?
I don't think she's got any. You know, I often think about creeping back to her empty, cheerless flat and the echoing, empty rooms.
Oh, hasn't she got any furniture either? No wonder she's lonely.
No familiar hand to give her a word of cheer.
No pat on the back from a friendly face.
It all seems rather a shame. We must find a new interest to take her mind off her work.
What about potholing?
No, what she needs is a boyfriend. I say, supposing she got married. I mean, what with running a home and everything, she wouldn't have much energy left to chase us around.
You're right. Now let's think. Where's the best place for a girl to meet a husband?
It's obvious. You choose some place where the husband's wife won't find you.
I say, you girls are always going to parties and things.
Yes,
that's right.
Well, then why don't you invite Maggie along? Bring her out of her shell.
I have a crack, but I can't guarantee she's still fresh.
Would you mind taking a message? This is Miss Tuffnell speaking, and it's about the Easy Go's advertising campaign. Well, I just wanted to check that your Mr. Henderson is coming to see me tomorrow. He is. Oh, that's fine. 11:30? Thanks very much. Bye.
Oh, Maggie, the girl I share my flat with and I are going to a party next Thursday. I wondered if you'd like to come along.
Oh, it's very kind of you, Janet.
It's a picnic party, really, being thrown by a friend of ours in Chelsea called Kinky Musgrove. Crazy. Kinky is such a character. At the last party, she ended up eating kippers and striped toothpaste in the bathroom. It doesn't matter what you wear anything you like, even clothes.
How terribly conventional. Now, I'm sorry, Janet, but somehow it doesn't sound quite me.
Oh, it's a shame.
I don't think I could make it. You see, every evening this week is occupied. I'm studying that new textbook on advertising, The Theory and Practice of Motivation Analysis in Psychiatric Consumer Research. I don't suppose you've read it.
No. I'm waiting for the film to come out. Honestly, Michael, she just didn't seem to be at all eager. I invited her to a lovely party.
Perhaps she wouldn't want to be seen at your kind of party.
But she wouldn't be seen. Kinky Musgrove's got very subdued lighting. It's so dark you can't see whose hand you're slapping. Not that it matters, we're all friends.
I don't see how we're ever going to get our Maggie married off.
Nor do I. She just won't go anywhere where she might meet an indelible bachelor.
Come in.
I say, excuse me, I'm looking for Miss Tufnell's office.
Fruity. Fruity Henderson.
Good Lord. Adrian Beals. I came to see Miss Tufnell about Easy Go's indigestion tablets. I'm the new advertising manager.
You're not.
I am.
Are you really?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Am I to assume that you two know each other?
Oh, I should say we do. Oh, I'm sorry. Fruity Henderson, this is Michael Lightfoot.
How do you do?
How do you know?
Fruity and I were in the raft together.
Were you? I was in the raft, too.
You weren't.
I was.
Good heavens. I don't remember you at all, and I never forget a face.
Well, I was a rear gunner.
Well, it's wonderful to see you again, Fruity. It's been 15 years.
Yes. I say, have I changed at all?
No, not in the slightest. It's a pity, but there it is.
You've changed there. Your moustache has shrunk.
Well, when you've got a wife and three children, you have to cut down somewhere.
Three children and a wife? You haven't.
I have.
Have you really?
Look, why don't we go and play this game over in the pub? Then we can all join in the chorus.
Jolly good idea. Now, just a minute. What have I come here for?
To see our Miss Tufnell.
I'll take you along to her office, this way. Just along the corridor.
Don't be long now. See you over in the Coach and Horses.
Oh, cheers, Michael.
Cheers. I say, old Fruity seems an awful decent sort.
Oh, yes, thundering good type old Fruity was. Fancy him finishing up in Easy Go's indigestion tablets.
Well, from thunder to indigestion isn't such a far cry.
Still, he seems to have settled down all right.
I suppose he's married.
Good heavens, no, not Fruity. He never knew what to say to women. I remember he was once rather smitten with a WAF decoder called Phyllis who works in the ops room. But he never seemed to be able to get through to her.
Perhaps he was using the wrong code.
Well, I don't know what it was, but after that little episode he became a lost man. Put me at quite a disadvantage.
You?
Yes, he was my navigator. He brought us right down over the runway one night. I saw two rows of lights. We were just going down, then I found out it was South End Pier. Ah, there's Fruity. Fruity, over here.
Hello. Here. You're a couple of sly old dogs, I must say.
What do you mean?
Oh, working with all those attractive female jobs. It's a damned attractive piece of what have you I met over there in the office. Just my type. Terribly efficient, but rather cuddly.
Oh, you mean our Maggie.
She's got a sort of warmth about her, sort of soothing and all that rot, you know. I don't quite know how to put this, but I'm rather smitten. You see, I looked at her, and then she looked at me, and then suddenly something electric passed between us.
You mean the chandelier fell down?
Oh, gosh, you know the feeling. It's sort of, well, well, it's... Well, I must go and get another drink. Bitters all round, chap.
Oh, yes, please, thank you.
I say, what a turn-up for the book. He's fallen right into our hands. He's just the type for Maggie.
Nonsense. He hasn't a clue.
Now, you leave it to Uncle Mike. I'll get them married off, settled down, and with two or three little ones running around before they know it.
Not before they know it, you won't.
Here we are, chaps. Three of the best.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Fruity, about Maggie, I was thinking, why don't we all meet at my flat for dinner? We'll discuss the advertising campaign to begin with. Then, at the psychological moment, we'll leave you alone together and you can...
Oh, good heavens above. Alone with a single girl? I mean, is it legal?
If it wasn't, I'd be in Dartmoor for life. Now, let's fix a date. How about tomorrow night?
Well, it's my squash night, really.
Oh, well, never mind. Give it up. Live dangerously. Be at my flat at 7. We'll have dinner. Janet will do the cooking, and then...
Janet? Cooking? Then live dangerously is a most apt expression.
No, you need have no fears on that score.
Well, maybe not. But, Fruity, if I were you, I'd take along a goodly supply of Easy Go's indigestion tablets. Never will so many be required by so few.
Janet, is everything under control? Our lovebird should be arriving at any minute.
Everything's fine, darling. Oh, would you look in that saucepan and see if the potatoes are done?
Right. Oh, yes, they're done all right. They've turned into a sort of mauve custard.
Let's see. Oh, that's not the potatoes, it's the soup.
Mauve soup?
Well, there's a beetroot in it. It's an old Russian recipe. You'll love it. It's an emotional experience.
I'm sure it is. It looks the sort of soup that starts a revolution.
Well, that'll be Maggie and Fruity.
Yeah, and don't forget, Maggie thinks it's strictly a business do, so after dinner we must slink off and leave them. Coming! Oh, Janet, mix some martinis.
Oh, yes, where would I?
Where? Oh, that was an excellent dinner. Don't feel the slightest bit hungry anymore.
Neither do I. Lost my appetite the moment Janet brought in the food.
Oh, well, the art of cooking is a gift. Either you've got it or you haven't.
And if you haven't, there's not a thing you can do about it.
Maggie, how about some frozen beans?
No, thank you.
But they're delicious.
I know, but not as a sweet. It's bad enough having rum trifle with the lamb chop.
Hmm. I thought it was sauce tartare. Oh, anyway, what's the difference? It all goes down the same way. It's just a question of priorities.
Now, Mr. Henderson, to work. I've been giving the Easy Go's indigestion tablet campaign a great deal of thought. I would strongly recommend a 6-inch, 4-column ad in all daily newspapers with a certified circulation of over 1 million.
I say, I love the way your nose wiggles when you say certified circulation.
Now, Mr. Henderson, please, try and concentrate.
Right.
Now, the total cost of this ad would be in the region of £11,500, but...
I say, excuse me, Maggie, but Janet and I have got to slip out. Haven't we, Janet?
Oh, yes.
Out? What for?
A bottle of milk.
To post a letter.
What?
To post a letter.
A bottle of milk.
Where are you going?
To post a bottle of milk.
Who to?
Oh, well, to a friend of ours who lives in cows. You see, she lives in cows, and every now and again we send her a bottle of milk.
A bottle of milk. Crazy.
Quite. Now, Michael, you stay here. I'll need your help in analysing these estimates. You see, Mr. Henderson, this is just the first breakdown of the preliminary costs.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, but we must go out and get some cigarettes.
Mm. There's 100 on the table.
I know, but I need one for the morning.
Need one for the morning.
Won't smoke all those tonight, not even with Janet's help.
But Maggie, you don't understand, but in the mornings I always smoke one of those flat filter-tipped cigarettes made of loose-cut Bulgarian tobacco.
Yes, that's right. It's a habit he picked up from his nurse. Come along, Michael. The shop might still be open.
I say, hold on, chaps. Did you say a flat filter-tipped cigarette made out of loose-cut Bulgarian tobacco?
Yes.
Well, your luck's in. I just happen to have one.
Oh, he's a fool to himself.
Now, where were we? Oh, yes. The first breakdown of preliminary costs. Well, these figures in red represent the maximum...
I've got it again. I've got to get out.
What is it now?
Oh, this feeling. It's like claustrophobia. I feel sort of hemmed in. Things are closing in round me.
Perhaps you're standing too near to Janet.
No, it's...
It's just that there are too many of us in this small room. I'll feel better after a little walk, but somebody ought to come along and hold my hand.
I'd be delighted. Sit down.
I'll come with you, darling.
Oh, that's very, very sweet of you. Better hold my hand as tight as you can.
Don't worry. When I'm out with you, I'm frightened to let go of it.
Well, they've gone, haven't they?
Yes, we're alone.
No, I'm not. You're with me.
Just you and me.
Or should it be you and I?
Do you know, I'm never quite sure.
Aren't you? I say, how ripping.
Well, one of them's in the normative. Or do I mean the accusative?
I don't know. I never have known. I say, how about another drink?
Well, in the circumstances.
You mean under the circumstances, I think.
Oh, yes, of course.
Vodka?
Please. I say, steady on, that stuff's slow poison.
Well, we're in no hurry. Soda?
Yes, put a little in.
Oh. Oh, I say, you've used a preposition to end a sentence with. What have I said?
Who cares, Mr. Henderson? Who cares?
Oh, please, call me Fruity.
Fruity. Yes, I like that.
Oh, God.
Never mind that report, Janet. What happened last night?
Yes, come on, do tell us. And don't spare the details, however sordid.
Well, it's like we told you. Michael and I left them alone.
Then after 2 hours, we crept in and saw Maggie snuggled up to Fruity looking like a dewy-eyed schoolgirl.
Oh, I just can't imagine him looking like a dewy-eyed schoolgirl.
What happened after that?
Well, we went off and left them again, came back at 3 o'clock, and they were gone.
No trace?
Just a couple of dents in the sofa.
So far, so good. Our little scheme seems to be working.
Yes, and we're not. Maggie isn't in yet to chase us up. She's never been so late before.
Do you think we ought to do something about the Easy Girls campaign?
Oh, let's not start work yet. It's only 11 o'clock. My eyes don't open till 12.
Well, then, let's go slowly through the motions. We should try to get some ideas about the Easy Girls advertising campaign. And we must have some sort of slogan.
I know. How about, you're never alone with an acid stomach?
Right, knock off. That's enough for one morning.
Now, but Michael...
Relax, Maggie's not around and the living is easy. Shirley, fix some coffee.
Oh, this is the life. Say, Adrian, how's your little girl?
Catherine? Oh, she's very well, thank you.
She must be growing up.
Oh, she is. Every day the dirty finger marks on the wall get a little bit higher.
Adrian, is that Easy Girls campaign finished yet?
Well, Maggie, we're working on it.
Well, it was promised for 11 o'clock.
Now, just a minute, old girl. Before you start on us, I'd like to point out that you're a little late yourself.
Late? I was here at 9 o'clock. I left a note on your desk in the in-tray, the one marked urgent.
Well, fancy leaving it there. No wonder I didn't see it. Ah, here it is. Dear Michael, have to visit the commercial art studios at 9:30, Niblo Foods at 10, Slimmer Sliced Bread at 10:30, Bar Bar Blankets at 11 o'clock. We'll be back at 11:07, start the conference without me.
Well, that's quite a program after last night. You did enjoy the dinner.
Apart from the food, yes. Seriously, Michael, it was a lovely evening.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
Yes, but that's no excuse for slacking. Now, Adrian, I'll expect you in my office at 12 o'clock with those picture captions. And, Michael, please do something about Speedy Glass floor polish. Oh, and when you finish that, get straight on to Pearl Beauty Soaps. We must increase our turnover.
Oh, so much for finding Maggie an outside interest.
Yep. Yes, Maggie, yep. I can finish it by next month. Tomorrow? Oh, no. All right, I'll do my best. Oh, that woman, she's worse than ever.
I don't understand it. She's been going out with Fruity for over 3 weeks now. Hasn't made the slightest difference.
But why is she carrying on like this? What's eating her?
I don't know, but it's certainly had a good meal.
I say, I must tell you. This morning when I was in the ladies' restroom, Maggie popped in for a minute.
A minute?
Well, 10 seconds. Anyway, we had a heart-to-heart. You know, the way girls do in the restroom.
Yes, if those walls could only speak, they'd keep the Sunday papers going for 50 years.
Well, listen. I asked her about Fruity and why she was working so hard. And she said, just because I've been out with the chap a few times, it doesn't mean anything serious. Until it does, why should I chuck up my career?
So that's it. But how can we make it mean anything serious?
Well, we'll have to get Fruity to propose. Maggie will feel settled, and we'll all live happily ever after.
She's only known him for 3 weeks.
Well, that doesn't matter. Fruity puts years on people. We'll ring him up. Get him over here. I'm sure they'll be very happy once they've got over the initial shock. Personally, I never have, but some people do.
Michael, Fruity's been in her office now for 5 hours. Do you think everything's all right? I mean, Maggie might have swooned, and I'm sure she's run out of burnt feathers.
No, there's no need to worry. Fruity was a little nervous, but he thought it was a good idea.
He agreed to do it quite readily.
Yes, the moment we stopped twisting his arm.
But does he know what to say?
Yes, he was thoroughly ginned up.
Not only ginned up, but ginned up.
Well, why is he so long?
A proposal isn't a thing you can hurry, especially one of marriage.
Here I say, they're still at it.
At what?
Talking, but it's awfully hard to hear what they're saying. He's a crafty one, all right. He put his hat over the keyhole.
Well, couldn't you see anything?
But not him.
Well, how did she look? Was she pleased, excited, romantic, asleep?
Well, it's hard to say, really. I could only see her left foot.
Oh, quiet, everybody. I think I can hear them coming down the corridor.
Right, let's pretend we're working. Well, I've considered it from every aspect, and I think we ought to reorientate our thinking.
Hello, why are you all working so late? Is there a panic on?
Oh, no, we're waiting to hear the results.
Shush!
The results of what?
Well, whether you would say yay or nay.
You mean you told them first?
He didn't tell us, we told him.
Fruity, whose idea was it that you proposed to me?
Well, theirs, really. I expect I would have thought of it myself eventually.
And there was I saying I must have time to think.
Oh dear, and we had bets on it in the typing pool. I had sixpence on Miss Tufnell to say yes, any to come, twins in the first year.
Never heard of such nerve. I will not have you people interfering in my private life, you snoopers.
Oh, now don't take on so, Miss Tufnell. The path of true love never runs smooth.
This isn't a path, it's a public highway.
Really, I thought when I proposed it would end all the trouble.
Don't you believe it, old boy? It's just the beginning.
Well, that's a delightful remark coming from a man with 3 children, poor little mites.
Now, Maggie, Miss Tufnell, there's something I want to say to you.
You needn't bother. I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth.
You wouldn't stand a chance. If he was the last man on earth, Janet would have him locked up in her deep freeze.
Look, please, be quiet while I'm talking. Now, Miss Tufnell, during the last few weeks, I've got to know you very well. You're attractive, intelligent, delightful companion, but you're just, well, you're just too self-centred.
Not in the slightest. It's just that I resent these people.
Well, they were only trying to help. I mean, there's other things in life besides work, you know, and if you don't watch out, you'll end up being one of those horrible neurotic career women types who drive everybody mad.
How dare you come in here making your ridiculous implications.
Oh,
why,
shut up. And another thing, you talk too much.
No one's ever spoken to me like that before.
Well, that's probably all trouble. Well, goodbye. And if it gives you any satisfaction, I'd like you to know that I still care.
Oh, no, no. Do go.
Why not?
I never thought you could be so firm.
No. Well, I can. I just don't believe in chucking my weight around, that's all.
I didn't want to marry you because I thought you were rather weak. Now I realize you were just very kind.
Oh, gosh.
Ask me that question again.
Well, not in front of all these people.
Whisper. Yes.
Oh, I say, Miss Tufnell has kindly consented to change her name to mine.
Congratulations. I'm so glad. I think Fruity Tufnell's a lovely name.
Look, I know it's a bit early, but which one of you chaps will be best man?
Oh, not me. I hate that job. You stand there behind the happy couple all in your tod, looking as though you've been knocked out in the semi-final. But I'll come along and kiss the bride.
I expect Janet will come along to kiss the groom.
No fear. Last time I kissed the bride gave me a black eye.
I'm terribly small-minded of her.
Not really. It was the night before the wedding.
Well, let's all go over to the horse and groom to celebrate.
Yeah. What a good idea.
Please, before we go, could we wrap up the Easy Goes campaign?
But I've done it, old girl. Tonight's little episode has given me a great idea. We have a picture of a bride coming out of a church. Her friends are waiting, but instead of throwing confetti, they're throwing indigestion tablets.
What a gimmick! What a sales angle! The newlyweds, of course.
Then, in the next picture, we see the bridegroom just after he's eaten his first meal his little wifey's cooked for him. And he's doubled up with pain. Then, wife produces the bottle of tablets, and we have a great big slogan, he won't be running home to mum with an easy go inside
his tum. Something to shout about, it's something to shout about. We can really guarantee it's something to shout about.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard the last program in the present series of Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Shirley by Sheila Hancock, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, and Fruity by Warren Mitchell. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was written all through by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, and they're all through too. The producer was Trafford Whitelock, who's got quite a name around the BBC, but we can't repeat it here. This program was recorded for posterity, and if they have any complaints, will they please not write in, because none of us will be here. This is the end.